Oh, little Millennium Falcon. Yeah,
Star Wars guy.
It's not good.
Same thing with my Marvel universe.
You know what
the Marvel universe was great for a long time.
Yeah.
A thing called Endgame. Endgame means it's over.
Endgame should have ended
Endgame
it.
Endgame means it's over. What are we doing?
Well, the problem with we're, this is all in the pot. Welcome to Chicago Bears Podcast. Yeah, we're just jumping straight in. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, showing love.
You know what Infinity Wars means, Pat?
Yeah.
Infinity means it can go on forever.
Yes.
And then the next movie is we're going to end it all.
Yes.
Then end it all.
Yeah.
What are you coming back at me with? I don't want to see nothing no more.
You know,
we're all dead. Boom. Some of you came back. Who cares?
You know what I didn't like? They went with the underneath characters. Like, it was like, okay, now we got to tell the side stories. I didn't need the side stories. I didn't need to know what Loki was doing on weekends when, like, you know, the Tesseract wasn't being kidnapped and all of that. I didn't need it. I did like Ahsoka, though. I loved Ahsoka. Big Rosario Dawson fan over here.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, listen, Yerk.
Out of all of it, Black Widow is one of my favorite characters. Groot.
I like Groot.
I mean, if I had to rank my characters, Groot would be up there.
Yeah.
You know, the whole Guardians of the Galaxy thing was a wonderful little offshoot.
Yeah.
And then they re-intertwined it, you know, so I kind of like Ant-Man to me. What the hell? What are we doing?
Yeah, I didn't need him. I didn't need him.
Then the Bumblebee Man.
You know what I don't?
The Bumblebee Man. What are we doing?
You know what I don't like? I don't like characters where I can just be like, why don't you just shrink down to the size of a pea, go inside the guy, and expand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blow him up.
Wait, well,
my superpower is getting big.
Well, we don't want to kill people.
That's what I used to tell the ladies.
Hey, yo. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chicago Bears Podcast.
Hello.
The good kid is here.
Getting big. Whoa.
We got to talk about some interesting Bears football because, yet again, we got a Bears Packers matchup. Yep. Good kid, I have to ask you this question. I feel like this is the biggest question in Chicago sports right now. From week one.
How great was I when I played? Is that the number one question? No, okay.
Listen.
What's the number one question?
I've seen some of the tape, good kid. You were pretty good.
One good
game. You were pretty good.
I had one good game.
From week one to week 17. Yeah. We've now seen the second half of the season where Justin Fields seems like he's starting to get better.
Sure.
Has he done enough from week one to week 17 to gain the good kid's vote of confidence
moving forward? 5 weeks ago, I said they're both coming back.
Five weeks ago, Justin.
I said it on the air. I said 5 weeks ago that both of these guys are going to be back. I said I predict the Eberflus is going to be back. I think Justin Fields is going to be back. Now, with the Justin Fields thing to the city of Chicago, I want him to play as good as he can.
Yes.
In the Green Bay Packers game, I hope he throws for 290 yards and he gets three touchdowns and he runs one in and the Bears score 30-plus points and everything's fantastic. I want the rest of the world to be convinced that he can play also. That way, all your options are open come off season. Right. Now, I think he's going to come back because there's something called leadership and there's something called, hey, we'll play for our guy.
Yes.
Because though our guy may not be a classic drop-back Joe Montana quarterback, our guy is a very effective quarterback who's overcome a lot of adversity, who's overcome a lot of doubters, and we believe in him. And it's because we believe in him that we want him back, and we want him to be our quarterback.
And the Bears locker room has echoed that every time they get asked it.
Now Ryan Poles, as the general manager, has got to decide, can I win a Super Bowl with Justin Fields? And that's the business he'll go about this offseason. They'll look back. They'll look to the future. They'll look at all the tape on all these college kids that are coming out. And they will figure out, do we take Fields after we've worked with him for 3 years? Or do we want to go with somebody that we believe has more upside and is close or near where Justin Fields is right now? And then we can become even a better football team. Now, you risk alienating your locker room. You risk doing that.
Yeah.
But if the guy that's coming in is better than the other guy, and I promise you there's turnover.
You're alienating only
right.
for a couple of weeks.
Right. 1991, I was there. By 1995, when I was there, it was me, Leroy Butler, and Ken Rutgers.
Yeah.
So in 5 years, from 91 to we started the 95th year, actually only four off seasons,
right.
There are three guys out of 53 that were left.
Mm.
So that's the type of turnover you find in the NFL sometimes.
I mean, now, we're seeing that now, yeah, right, with this team.
Right,
what do we got? Jalen Johnson, Cole Kmet, Tevin Jenkins, Eddie Jackson. Is that it?
I think so.
Am I running out of Mooney? That's five and Justin Fields. That's six guys from the Pace era.
Is there a long snapper of any
of any want is Patrick Scales. I think he's been there too.
Yes, he's from the Pace area as well.
He's from the Pace area, yeah.
So. Santos? Is Santos a Pace guy or was he a Poles guy?
I can't tell you. Yeah. I can't remember. They had all the kicking woes.
I don't know if we found out. Helicopter flying over Soldier Field trying to watch those guys. We've come a long way here. Yeah, we're not doing kicking camps in training camp. Yeah. Competition's heavy.
We've got 17 kickers in here and an Australian rugby football player.
Yes, we did. We had a rugby player. Oh,
yeah. All types of craziness. So,
but from week one to week 17, you've seen the improvement. You've talked about it on a consistent basis. Let me ask you this. When you see the – when I think defensively, 100% the Bears team has improved.
Oh, yeah.
Offensively, over the last 6 weeks, it feels like there's been a jump. Have you seen enough improvement for Luke Getsier? Are you going into this game versus Green Bay feeling like you better coach for your life? If you win, you're here.
If I'm keeping Fields, I'm keeping Getsier.
Right.
Those two are married at the hip, whether they like it or not. They may not like each other. I don't care. It doesn't make a difference. Those two need to realize we are relying upon each other to propel ourselves forward. And it'll build both of our reputations if we find a way to be successful. That's it.
Right.
Period. Bottom line. That's it. The two of them are tied at the hip.
So there's
a better chance you can get rid of Getsy and still keep Fields. The problem is you're going to change your offense again.
Right.
Are you changing your offense again? Are you changing your calls? Are you doing it all over again? Are you starting from, and not personnel wise, but offensive theory wise, you'll be starting from page one again.
And that's why, right, like the question that I've asked has consistently been, how important is leadership at that position, at the quarterback position.
It is. Wonderful play.
Yeah. It's better.
Exceptional play.
Yeah.
Naturally leads into a leadership role, but overcoming adversity can also lead because, you know, people watch you overcome. People watch you start to achieve. People have seen you struggle, and then they've seen you get through that struggle. And let me tell you, he's got through that struggle in a classy way.
Yes.
You can't say anything against the individual. He has gone through all this in a very classy way.
Yes. Everybody wanted to kill him for when they was like, oh, he threw his coaches under the bus. He doesn't believe in him.
Week two or three.
Yep. And then as the season goes on, DJ Moore is talking about the play calling. Darnell Mooney's talking about the play calling. Matt Eberflus is talking about the play calling. Ryan Poles comes on ESPN 1000 for the pregame and goes, yeah, schematically, there's some problems here, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think that it's
– well,
I almost want to say there's a locker room vibe where they're – okay with just being open, and everything that we hear, we're like, oh, this is sending a message. This is him telling somebody something. And I think they just kind of they come out and they talk because we've seen it from the whole team.
Well, I think what you see in the tape it tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah.
So when they were using their horizontal passing game at the beginning of the year, you scratch your head and say, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah.
When there was no offshoots from the vertical passing game, you know, something different. I mean, even last week, you saw him fake a quick screen to the right and then roll him left.
Yeah.
Right? Fake the quick screen, roll him left. He ends up running in for a touchdown because everybody gets blocked up in the middle. So there's an offshoot of a quick screen play, a counter. Hey, look, we're going to run it. No, we're not. Here we go the other direction. Or if you're at the 50, you fake the quick screen and you release the guy long and then you find a way to hit him. I think their confidence in the decision they've made to be able to go long early.
Yeah.
It allows them to put a team on the back foot. Once that team is on the back foot, they're like, now these guys are willing to run patterns. We can't squeeze everything. We can't accordion it. And now you see how better the Bears defense is when they're getting pressure on the quarterback. And now you can sit on short patterns and you can jump short patterns. And all of a sudden you're getting interceptions left and right. And Jalen Johnson's going to the Pro Bowl. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the sweater.
Montez the sweater. I like that one. Montez. I like that nickname. Yeah. The sweater.
I call him the sweater.
I'm not mad at it.
Because he sweats.
Yeah. He makes the quarterback sweat.
Probably looks good in the sweater.
You think he's got a good sweater game?
Good, great sweater.
Phenomenal sweater game.
Remember the old Coogees? The old Coogees.
Oh, the what do you know about little Coogee sweater action here? You're going on now.
Leroy Butler used to sport Coogees all the time. I myself never an owner of a Coogee.
Not a big, a lot of bright colors in Coogee.
Not only bright colors, horizontal lines.
Yeah.
You know, lines, they're wavy and they're patternish. They were different, but they were all horizontal.
Yeah.
Some guys can't wear horizontal stripes. I'm one of those guys. Vertical stripes for me.
Yeah, good vertical stripes.
Vertical. I got a vertical stripe game.
You wouldn't have looked good in that Packers or that Steelers throwback, is what you're saying.
No,
yeah, horizontal the bumblebee. Stripes that. No, that's a bad look for you.
Bad look for me.
That's all right. That's all right, man. Yeah. But as long as you look good on the field, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
At the end of the day, I like that we have this final matchup to really look at, because I think that this is one emotionally, it's going to sway the city one way or another. We know that.
Sure,
but. It's a real test for Justin Fields on a game where, listen, there is a real impact on people's careers here.
Yep.
If you don't perform well today, I think that the pressure in this game will say a lot about who he is as a QB.
Listen, I always say the quarterback gets too much credit when they win, and he gets too much blame when they lose.
Yes.
This team is truly relying upon each other. The defense playing well, getting pressure. The defensive backs when
not
pressure muffing
there.
Punts. Everybody works on this thing together. The longer they control the ball, the less the defense is on the field. The offense for the other team feels like, okay, our possessions are going to be limited because they're controlling the ball. We've got to do something. They're more willing to gamble. They're more willing to maybe go off of their play things to try to get big chunk plays, and the Bears get a chance to make some defensive plays off there. I think it's all kind of reliant upon each other, and the Bears want to play a specific way. They want to get out front. They want to grind you. They want to take away your possessions over the course of the game, over to 60 minutes. If they can control the ball for 35 minutes, if they can convert third downs at a 40% plus clip, if they can force a couple of turnovers, that's the way they want to play the game.
Yeah.
Establish the run, including with the quarterback. And then this is a team that once they learn to win from the front, because three games they've blown. They doubled the
juice.
They blew three games.
Yep.
Once they learn how to get up front and then, like a boa constrictor,
hold on to your
prey, you hold on to them every time they take a breath, you just squeeze, you squeeze till the 60 minutes are over. You took the life out of the game. You took the life out of the opposing team, and you won a game. I think that's what they're going to try to do. That's the recipe for a victory up in Green Bay.
What did we see against Atlanta that kind of allowed them to finally do that? I felt like that was the first time this season where in the second half of the game, they took real control and they didn't let go.
Well, I would agree that the Atlanta was a top 10 defense, pretty good defense. The defensive tackles were substandard. Specifically number 98, which allowed Lucas Patrick and the two interior guards, Nate Harris, even though Nate Harris has struggled a little bit lately.
Nate Davis.
Why did I say Nate Harris? It's Napoleon Harris. I'm thinking a different guy. Yeah, Nate Davis. Nate Davis struggled a little bit. But listen, I've seen Nate Davis play some really good football.
Yes.
But when you drop a little bit of technique, all of a sudden you become susceptible to things that are happening to you. And the arm over has kind of victimized him a little bit. So that's something he'll work on in the offseason. Pass block with your feet. So he's got to work on his feet. He's got to work on not leaning forward, that kind of thing. Those are all fixable. And maybe within offseason here with the Bears and with the real preseason, we'll be able to get 17 solid games out of him. I'm not concerned about Nate Davis. I just think he struggled a little bit. But Tevin Jenkins is a monster. You re-sign him. It looks like you've got to re-sign Jalen Johnson now.
Yeah.
I would agree. The world is recognized now, and
he's a free
not
agent.
Teams didn't want to trade for him. Not just with coverage, and he's salty, and he wanted to get paid. What he's done on the field matches now what he might want to get paid.
Yes,
he wanted to get paid before doing it on the field, and when you do and you perform, you end up getting paid. That's the way it works. And this year he's come out and he's done and he's performed and he's actually gotten some interceptions,
right,
which is nice. And the kid, 29.
Well, the second we got pressure, right?
Right.
The second we got pressure, Bears went from not having any interceptions to 22.
That's why it's more important to have guys and get to the quarterback than it is to have guys in cover.
Yeah.
Because the guys and get to the quarterback are going to help you cover. Just happens, okay, Jalen's a pretty good player, so you're probably going to have to pay him. Eddie Jackson, you say goodbye to. We've talked about that in the past. Thanks for the seven years.
Would you keep him on a team if he was willing to restructure leadership?
I don't think he's willing to restructure.
No, okay.
And does he have to restructure, or is he done with his contract?
I believe he's got one more year left, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, you might let him play the year out next year and let him play on that contract. I don't think he played well enough.
He did not. He, I don't listen, think, in coverage, he was a nightmare.
And, well, if he's a nightmare in coverage, let me tell you who's unwilling to tackle. There's one guy on this team that's unwilling to stick his head anywhere, and it's because of his injury that he's had in the past.
Yeah, so
he doesn't want a repeat performance of that injury.
His age 31 season, he's got $14 million coming his way.
Yeah, so and depends on how much dead money there is. He may become just cap casualty. Say if you want Danielle Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what if I want Danielle Hunter? And I'm going to sign Danielle Hunter to a contract.
Cap hit would be $18
million. Yeah. Cap hit next year would be $18 million. Cap hit next year
is $18
million. That's what I'm looking at. You'd save $9.5 million or $8.5 million. So that's what I'm looking at. What am I saving?
Right.
If I'm saving $9.5 million, okay, I'm saving 10 with white hair being gone. Lucas Patrick, I'm saving $3 or $4 million.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to find that money. Where you might be able to utilize it. How can I get myself a stud defensive end? Well, we can go to Danielle Hunter and say, Danielle, we'd like you to sign you a 3-year contract or a 4-year contract. We want you to come off the corner. We want you to do what you did against us. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or you move down from one to something with another team that wants to come out. You want to, you know, I think getting a guy that can come off the corner is important.
Yes.
It's important. And,
well, we see it on the other corner, right?
And my guy Dexter, we've talked.
Is he Javon yet, or is he still Gervin?
No, he's still Gervin.
Okay,
it's Gervin Dexter, and he's becoming more and more like Santana Dotson.
Yes,
which I've called for.
Yes,
I called for an offseason of watching
since week
nothing
one.
But Santana Dotson film, and I said he's going to get better because he played in a system with Aston the two gap. So his instincts down there that he's been trained because of repetition and habit is to read and react. And this is not a defense where you read and react. This is a defense where you come off the ball aggressively and then react. Come off the ball aggressively and then react. So I think he's getting better and better, and I think he's got a chance of being a real good player. So that I am happy for. Pickens was ahead of him. Now Pickens hasn't had the same opportunity as Dexter, so it's going to take Pickens a full offseason, some strengthening, and let's get back out there and let's grind. And of the guys in the middle, they re-signed Billings already.
Yep.
I like Jones. I like him. This is why I like him. I like him. And any team that needs a good guy in the middle, he'll be good for it. Yes. Like if he, Jones, played for Atlanta and they got rid of that 98 who can't play, they'd be a better defense interior if Jones was there.
Mm.
There's going to be a spot for Jones in the league. Jones,
100%.
Jones can play.
100%.
Jones can play. If you've got nobody better than him, you can put him in there and you could be a solid interior defensive line. He's never going to be exceptional.
Yeah.
You know what? His ceiling, you know where his ceiling's at. So,
and I wouldn't drop him back into coverage. I got to show you some film then.
I'm going to show you some film of me in coverage.
You dropping back?
Dropping back. Covering.
Who are you covering? Who are you
Jerry
covering?
Jerry Rice, 17 yards down the field in a playoff game.
Were you leg and leg with them? Were you keeping up?
What they said was they've never seen a zone flip, and they've never seen more mobile hips than they've seen on this guy right here.
Yeah, well,
I was the Elvis Presley of defensive tackles
when I dropped.
That takes
us back to the beginning of the show where you were talking about what you tell the ladies. You got to tell them. About the mobile hips.
Nothing but hips, baby. Brent Jones. Who else did I cover? Touchdown Timmy Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got back there.
Oh, I dropped in coverage. Yeah.
Here's the old zone blitz.
Kid.
I think here's the difference with you and them. How many touchdowns were scored on you?
None.
In 2 weeks, we saw it with Justin Jones, 14 points were given up.
I did miss a play. We did a play against Dallas in the NFC Championship game, and I did miss on my zone blitz. They did a shallow cross with Michael Irvin, and I was paying too much attention to Novacek, trying to get under Novacek. And the ball was thrown directly at me, and I'm sitting there like I'm going to catch it. And here comes Michael Irvin right across the middle, ball in his hand. I'm like, what in the – what just happened? Happened so quick. So Irvin did catch a ball. Brown caught a ball in front of me, but I tackled him right away.
Yeah.
There's no yak yardage.
Yeah. You're not
yards after catch, it wasn't allowed.
Justin Jones got a lot of yak on him right now.
Yeah.
A lot of yak on him. Two touchdowns, 14 points. And I think
you know, we had Matt Brock in interception too. He was like 12 yards downfield when they tried to throw the ball over the middle.
Yeah.
Matt Brock is a defensive tackle out of Oregon that got drafted in the late 80s. And he went up. He got it. He brought it down. I mean, it was like, what?
Any run back on that?
He might have had maybe 4 yards.
Oh, he's
so happy to catch the damn thing. But we, you know, in our defensive line stuff, we'd work a tip drill all the time.
Yeah.
you know, where guys are catching the ball. And as part of our conditioning,
we
go through 4 or 5 lines of the coach throwing the ball to you, you know, bad ball drill. We just had to find a way to come down with the catch.
Yeah.
So we always practiced it. That way, if it happened in a game, here's the other thing we practice. Throw the ball on the ground as a fumble and pick it up on the run and try to take it to the house. Not just land on it, not like just a big, like, fat slob.
Batting it. And or you break a rib landing on a football.
Right. When it was there, too, we learned how to cradle the football, sliding up to the football on our sides and cradling it,
yeah,
as opposed to landing on top and rolling right over it.
I mean,
that's all practice, all stuff that one can learn and utilize. And the more you do it, the more it becomes second nature, which is important.
Every time I see somebody just, like, dive on top of the football, I'm just like, your ribs have to be just in pure pain right now.
And you can see it. They get it too, and they'll get the solar plexus hit, and then all of a sudden they're out of breath.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Do you know the stats for the Bears-Packers rivalry?
Right now, or what, you just talking wins and losses?
No, I'm just talking about 9 in a row.
Heading into this,
9 victories in a row.
Yeah.
15 of the last 16. It's 26-4 in the last 30 contests. I'm just, you know, letting you know. I mean, there's some of these. I thought they were bad in the 90s. Remember when Brett Favre was kicking the living crap out of the Chicago 100%. Bears? I thought it was bad. It's really kind of horrific.
No, it's getting to a point where it almost feels mental, right? Where you go into the game and you're like, we know going into this game, we're probably not going to win.
And Jordan Love has been impressive.
He's been better.
He's been a lot better. 3,800 plus yards. They're 5-2 in their last 7. They're playing good football, which is when you want to catch them. I don't want to beat the Packers when the Packers are bad.
Yeah.
If I'm the Bears, I want to beat the Packers when the Packers are rolling, when they're good, when they've got something on the line, and something is on the line.
100%. There. Playoffs are on the line right now. And I think the interesting thing going into this Packers game, right, I gave the stat yesterday on the pod. Packers are 2-6 when they scored 20 or less points.
Yeah.
Chicago Bears have not allowed more than 20 points since week 11 versus the Detroit Lions. You've got kind of this, like, this war in the middle that's about to meet, where their stats right now align perfectly with your stats. Now everybody's going to wrestle in the middle and see who's going to come out on top of it. I think the one thing for me with this season that I think a lot of people may have figured out, Matt LaFleur is a heck of a play caller. And I think a lot of people were just like, well, of course you're a play caller with Aaron Rodgers. You're going to be elite. What he's done with Jordan Love, I have to give him credit for, because Jordan Love did not look like this to start the season. And now at the end of the season, you're seeing a quarterback that looks confident in the pocket, looks confident with his receivers. Our relationship is right. The things that I want to see happen with Justin Fields, unfortunately, we're seeing happen yet again in Green Bay.
Well, I mean, and good for Green Bay, and good. And we don't know. This could be the ceiling. This could be a Jordan Love ceiling. But we're seeing
what Jordan Love
could ever give you.
That was my hope.
And that's fine. You know, I give him credit. Here's another question for you. Green Bay Packer trivia. Who's your leading pass receiver on this team? And how many yards does he have?
Is that Jaden Reed right now?
It is Jaden Reed. How many yards?
I would say he's got 750.
681.
Oh, it was a little high.
Everybody else is under 681. Now, they throw him for 3,800 yards.
Yeah.
So even if everybody had 700 yards, everybody had 7 equally, you're looking at what? 5 guys?
Yeah.
5.5 guys?
Spreading the ball around well.
He's spreading the ball everywhere. Now, Watson got hurt, which forced Jaden Reed to play a little bit more, and Romeo Doubs, who's the second leading receiver. And then there's another guy that's come out, Montividian Kirk or Montividian Wilkes or Wicks or something. This guy's come out of nowhere with 500-plus yards this year. Yeah. So they got the ball to Dillon. A.J. Dillon has got some. Yep. The other kid from Notre Dame's got some yardage before he got busted up. They got the tight end, the new tight end they got, it's got some yardage. But the point is, the ball's going everywhere.
Yeah.
So they're doing it with the ball. I do think the Bears defense is better than the Packer defense is.
I think the Bears defense might be able to fluster this Packers offense that has been rolling really well.
We're looking for that. And listen, I don't care if the field is good or bad. Take advantage.
Yeah.
Take advantage of whatever you can take advantage of. I think this defense is going to be popping people in the mouth. I think it's a very aggressive defense. I think they're going to be getting after the Green Bay Packers, and I find the Bears getting a victory this week.
Now, you played in this rivalry. You played in this rivalry when it was very much like it is now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, very, very lopsided in the Packers' favor.
Kicking the crap out of the Bears. And let me tell you what it was 1 year, 73-9. Two games.
73-9. We ran for 200 yards in each one of the games. One of them was the Blizzard game here on Halloween, October 31st, 1994. 73-9.
Yeah, that's how it feels.
I don't know what you think that is, but in my world, that's called an ass beating.
Yeah.
And we used to take Wani and the boys when they'd come up and when we'd come down, and all we did was smack the living crap out of them. Why? Because we could.
Yeah.
And we did.
When you're winning like that,
yeah.
Because for Bears fans, for what you hope in Halas Hall, this is a rivalry. When you're winning like that for the Packers, is it a rivalry for you guys? Is well, it no, a rivalry it when you're playing is. On and the listen, team?
When you play up in Green Bay, you take the little guy. You got the Napoleon syndrome going.
Yeah.
You're the little guys. You're in a small town. You're in this. You're in that. Yeah. You can't beat in the 80s, the Bears had the better of it in the 80s. I didn't really start playing until 92.
Right.
I played at the end of 91, so 92, 93, 94, 95. We split in 92. We won both in 93, won both in 94, won both in 95. I think they won both in 96. The Packers got off to an 0-7 start. The Bears got off to an 0-7 start in 97. Two of those losses were against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
So it was like 10 in a row at that point. I was gone in Jacksonville at the time. But I went on the radio and I said, these Bears could start 0-7. And they're like, you're nuts. Worst they'll be is 3-4. Worst they'll be is 3-4. I said, I don't know. You got a pretty tough schedule here. I go, 0-7 into the bye. That's exactly what they were. I called McNeil and Bors.
Yeah.
The heavy fuel crew.
Yeah.
I said, I don't know who told you. I go, you want to bring back the sound or do you want me to repeat it? I go, do you want to repeat my prediction I made in August?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd always watch the Bears. My brother got drafted by the Bears. I grew up a Bears fan. I'm still a Bears fan now. But back then, you just kind of watch from a distance. And I knew the NFL real well because I was playing it. And I just looked at it and I said, I don't know. 0-7 is a real possibility. When it happened, I felt like Nostradamus. I felt like a football genius. I go, look at me.
It's almost like you know what you're talking about a little bit.
Future in this business.
Was that the first taste of you feeling like you could be the radio guy after?
Actually, it was in 92. I had done some radio before that. 91, I hosted a radio show in New Holstein, Wisconsin at the Altoona Supper Club in New Holstein, Wisconsin. And I drive an hour there. They pay me $50 and I drive an hour back on Monday night. And the guy that was working there said, you might have a future in this thing.
Mm.
Then I did some television and Dick Blazek, who was an executive with the Green Bay Packers, had a videotape and he put it in there and he started giving me some coaching advice. He goes, listen, he goes, you hear all that? He goes, silence is better than So if you're going to say something, it's better not to say anything and hesitate. Get your thought together and then just come out with your thought. So I had people coaching me. I had people pulling me aside, people giving me advice. That's why if I ever get a chance, I just give a guy a helpful piece of advice. I give him a piece of
just
advice.
Just hit me with something right there because I feel like I say all the time. Right.
That's just it. You've got to be able to hesitate and then come to the point, whatever point you're going to say.
Right.
And it happens to all of us. We get caught in thought and instead of just kind of sitting and contemplating, we'll go, I don't know. I don't know at all. Why are you asking me? Do you know? That's a crutch that you have to transition to do another thought.
Yeah.
Don't use your crutch. Silence is better going into a new thought. And if you can't think of what you want to say, hesitate and then say it.
Getting everything on this podcast, man. You got Marvel talk in the beginning, Star Wars talk. You're getting podcast and radio advice from the good kid. He's been in the game. You're getting football knowledge. He's been game.
Bring Yoda back. Come on. Bring Yoda back.
Well, bring Yoda back.
I want Yoda. I don't want the spawn of Yoda. I want Yoda back.
The baby Yoda's weird. I'm not gonna lie. I wasn't a huge fan of that one. Have you done Ahsoka? Have you seen Ahsoka?
What's Ahsoka?
Ahsoka is about Darth Vader's Padawan before he became Darth Vader.
No.
Good storyline. Good storyline. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. If I want to watch, I go to the original three.
Yeah, you're just taking it
and
back.
That's it.
You're just taking it back.
I saw them all. I saw them with my daughter. When they came out with the one where the planet blows up.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was
with Ray and all that.
Rogue Warrior or Warrior One or whatever it was.
Rogue One.
There were a couple nice ones that came out.
Yeah.
And then they basically redid Star Wars again where they came in and they had to shoot in the tunnel. I go, wait a minute. I go, am I watching another movie? Or did they send me? They sold me a line of crap.
Yeah.
What am I doing? I'm watching the same movie again.
It's supposed to be a trilogy of trilogies.
Yeah, trilogy my ass. Drives me crazy. You know what movie I watched yesterday?
What'd you get?
Excalibur 3.
It's not a bad movie.
Denzel Washington.
Yeah, it's not
in
a
Italy.
Bad movie. Yeah.
Anytime you get Denzel in Italy, it's got to be good.
Yeah,
you
it's know? Not a bad movie. Actually. I enjoyed it. I love a good Denzel.
And then he gave the girl the bag of money, $366,400. And she goes, well, why'd you do this? She goes, all that money, you just took that. And he goes, it's for you. She goes, you take it to him. She gave the guy's name. And then she goes over and she gives him the money. And then she sees the reaction. And then she figures out he doesn't have to tell her why he does what he does. He wanted her to see it.
Yeah.
So
got deep on you.
Yeah. If you're in a position of power, sometimes you can help affect things for the positive, not the negative, like we see going on here at a certain island.
Oh, boy. Oh, whoa. Hey, listen.
Not fantasy.
Listen. I'm staying away from that one right now. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to stay away from that
one. You got
to
have fun.
You got to have fun. Not on the island. Let's not have fun on the island, Yerk.
Well,
let's avoid the island.
Yeah.
Your name's not on the list, is it?
No. Not mine. No. I mean, I went to St. John, St. Thomas down there on cruises. Had a good time. When I was with the Packers, man, we go on cruises. I went with Alonzo Spellman.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He on the list?
He was, I don't know, but he was a very personable young man.
The entire list.
No, but listen, he was a very personable young man.
Yeah.
Bears drafted him in the first round, I think, 1992. I was on a cruise with him, I think, in 94. A very personable young man. Didn't think he was going to go haywire the way he went haywire.
It went a little wilder.
Yeah.
Went a little wild.
And Coach Singletary was there to settle him down. You remember that? Oh, you were young. You were young.
I don't know.
Yeah, you were young.
94, Yerk, I was born. Yeah. I was born.
Well, yeah. And I don't know when he went
haywire. I've known the story, though.
Right. I don't know if he went haywire in 96 or when he went, you know, when he had his episode. I call him episode.
Yeah.
He had his episode, but it was Singletary there that was simmered him down and got him settled down and got him brought back in, you know. Hey, a lot of pressure on a young man. You come out of college, you come into the league, and things aren't exactly going the way they're going. And then all of a sudden, who knows what other issues you're having in your private life. And then all of a sudden, things just, you know, they're spinning. Everything's tumultuous. And sometimes you don't react in quite the way one might react. So it's never easy. It's never easy. So
prayers to Chase Claypool.
Chase Claypool's a model. That's what the guy wants to be. It's okay. He's a good looking kid. He's in South Beach. He's looking, you know, to get in Gentleman's Quarterly. He is a model. He's a good looking kid.
He does.
He wants to be a model. And I think he wants to get in the music business because he told Mike Tomlin he'd like to hear a little music during practice. And Mike Tomlin says, I'm the coach. I'll decide what we do during practice.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tomlin got a lot of interesting wide receivers.
And let me tell you, Montez Sweat has made people forget about Chase Claypool here.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan Poles should thank Montez Sweat every single day of the week.
Well, Ryan,
he should go give Montez a big hug.
Well, he did in the video.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the video.
Yeah.
It was a large hug in there.
Well, I'd be giving the hug of a lifetime. I'd never let him go.
Thank you.
A double bear hug.
Thank you for making them forget about that second round.
Yeah, play. I don't mind. Listen, if you think you can make an improvement on your team, and maybe, I don't know, maybe to be fair to Chase Claypool, I'm always willing to give both sides of the story, maybe Chase Claypool came here too early.
Yeah.
And nobody was going to help Justin Fields develop but time. Maybe the only thing that was going to help in Justin Fields was time and more opportunity and more chances.
Yeah.
Now, I'll offer you this. If he played all 17 games this year, including next week, he'd probably be a 3,100-yard passer.
Yeah.
3,400 maybe even. He's averaging 201 yards a game. So I'd give him a 3,300 yards. That's what I'd give him. That's all I wanted from him. The passing touchdowns aren't there.
Need more.
I think the rushing and the rushing touchdowns, I think he's done enough. But him escaping from where he escaped from, keeping that play alive, you could win with Justin Fields. It's not a problem. And maybe that game he played last week is going to propel him and give him the confidence going in. I mean, I watched Favre struggle against Minnesota. He was afraid of John Randall and Henry Thomas and Barker coming off the corner. And Chris
I think
Dolman.
Most quarterbacks were.
Okay. They were afraid.
I think most quarterbacks
and poor Frankie Winters and Harry Galbraith and Dave Wydell. They were up there. Doug Wydell was Dougie, his brother. They're up there on the line of scrimmage and Kenny Rutgers, and they're just Joe Sims, and their heads are just swirling and spinning, maybe even Earl Dotson at the time.
And they're like, how are we going to handle what the hell they're bringing at us? Sometimes they didn't. Eventually, they learned how to handle it. And eventually, the Packers started beating the Minnesota Vikings, you know, on a regular basis.
We'll see what it ends up being. What's your prediction for Sunday, Yurt?
I got Bears. I said it yesterday, 24-19 Bears.
Okay. All right. We'll see what it ends up being. I actually got the – I think the Bears defense is going to shut down the Packers, and I think the Bears offense – well, actually can throw against the Packers defense that Joe Barry has no idea what that's
my
going
19
on
is four field goals and a touchdown.
I would agree with that. Right? Yeah.
Four field goals and a touchdown.
I got a big win. I'm going all in last game of the year. Might as well 31-19.
There you go.
I think the Bears can score a lot of points versus a defense. That's a joke. Appreciate your
Bears bring one to the house too. Jalen Johnson or
Pick Steven. Six.
Yeah,
pick I thought six. She meant like a kickoff. I was like,
No.
I haven't seen a kick return in weeks.
I think there's been one or two kickoff returns for touchdowns in the league.
I don't even.
Yeah, there has.
I can't
been.
Even tell you which, who did it. Like, yeah. Patriots did one last week. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, 99 yards. Yeah, yep. It's a dying art.
Which is a shame.
Yeah. We'll see.
Shame.
What
as being a wedge guy, it's a shame.
We'll see. Yeah.
I say that we ran it so well in Green Bay, they outlawed it 16 years later.
They might. The rule,
my argument.
Listen, the rule changes are coming. They're debating whether they're going to get rid of it. So
I think it's a great play. And you know, if you've got the advantage, it gives you positive field position. Why they took it away. They didn't take it away because of Devin.
No. I can't wait for that debate to begin. Oh, here we go. Hey, that'll be next week on the podcast because I can't wait for that. But as always, man, it's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again, joined by the good kid, John Yurkovich. Let's see if the Bears go out there and get a dub. First, the Green Bay Packers. Y'all stay safe out there in Chicago. Bear down. Peace.